Some of the best whitewater rafting and kayaking anywhere is found along the Rogue River as it winds its way from Crater Lake National Park to the Pacific. Some of the people who enjoy using the river for just that purpose want to capitalize on the quality whitewater. They're moving ahead with plans for a Gold Hill Whitewater Center with a number of features and attractions on the Rogue at Tillamook Falls near Gold Hill. Steve Kiesling is the Gold Hill Whitewater Center president and a former Olympian. We'll find out in which sport in just a moment. Steve, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Jeffrey, it's great to be here.
So the 1980 Olympic team, is that right?
1980, yes. I was on the rowing team and had the honor of not going to Moscow because of the boycott.
Ah, so you were all set to go. You would have been in the Olympics.
That's right. We did all the races before the Olympics and then ended up watching it on TV in Ireland, which was not a happy time.
I can well imagine. Okay, so but you've stuck with it, it sounds like. You've really kept your enthusiasm for whitewater over the years.
Yeah, I stayed. I tried out in 84 and again in 2008. But actually, part of what happened, I think, from not going is that I ended up dedicating my life to getting other people into sports. I helped launch a magazine called American Health in the 80s, and then I was a Nike spokesman for cross training. Did all kinds of things to get people going in different kinds of sports activities.
It's a bit of a transition to go from rowing to whitewater. So when did you make that transition from slack water to something a little?
Actually, it started out in whitewater. We had a canoe when I was about 6, and then I built a kayak when I was 10, and another one, and then I got too big to be any good at it, and I wasn't a very good kayaker ever, but I love it, but I was a really great rower, so that's went with that.
So it's just always been, I mean, you and water and boats.
Me and water and boats. When I got here, there was no rowing, so I went, this was 91, I guess, and there was no rowing here, so I went back to kayaking, did a lot of that, and then started the Ashland Rowing Club back in 1998, I guess, and have been working on this whitewater park for about 10 years.
10 years now. What's the original vision, and what's the area of the river you're talking about here?
Well, the area is Tillamook Falls, and it's just upstream of the city of Gold Hill, and it's in the Gold Hill Sports Park. If you want to get to it, you just take exit 40 off I-5, and ODOT has put up signs that now say Tillamook Falls, and with a kayak on them, and it'll lead you to the parking lot that the Rogue River Greenway Foundation paid for last year. So in a sense, we already have a whitewater park at Tillamook Falls. You just get out on exit 40, you follow the signs, and you get there. What we want to do is to modify one of the channels called Mugger's Alley and make some of the best play waves in the world.
Mugger's Alley. That's an interesting name. Why is it called that?
Mugger's Alley because there's the mugging rock in the middle of it that'll...
it'll mug your boat then?
Yeah. Actually, you know, the thing is, after all the years of being worried about it, it turns out it's pretty trivial if you run it on the left side. we have our event, the King of the Rogue, and I went right, most people go right and almost flip and have all kinds of problems. But then people start going left. It turns out it's
a lot easier.
Yeah, okay. It's really easy.
So you don't have to get mugged going through there.
Yeah.
So what kinds of rapids do you have through there? And work for the folks who might not understand class 1, 2, 3, 4 rapids through this slowly.
Okay, so class 1 is basically really easy. Class 6 is going to kill you. And right now, Tillamook Falls has – what's cool about it is that's three channels. The river is very wide. There's one channel called Mugger's Alley where we want to build the course. Then there's the main drop where all the commercial rafters go, and we still call that Powerhouse. And then there's another run called Grandma's Run, which is named after Grandma Agnes Baker Pilgrim, the elder of the Takelma tribe. And at the bottom of the Grandma's Run is the story chair, which was the centerpiece of the Takelma salmon ceremony. So actually, we're trying to build a whitewater park in the most special gathering spot for the Native Americans in Southern Oregon.
Has that been a challenge in itself, just to get buy-in from people who might be concerned about you taking on a sacred site?
Well, when I moved to this, I live on one side of the river and the city of Gold Hill owns the other. When I bought the property in 2000, I had no idea about the story chair. And in fact, I was the guy who found it with a picture of Grandma Aggie's dad taken in 1933 by a guy from the Smithsonian. Anyway, that was a great a great mystery to find this thing. And then Grandma Aggie brought the salmon ceremony back in 2007. And we've been working with various tribes since then to, you know, to bring back that whole tradition. And one of the, I mean, this is the most significant, you know, site in Southern Oregon. I mean, it was the big gathering site for all the tribes. It was kind of like an Olympic village where everybody laid down their weapons and came together and did this probably week-long ceremony for the salmon. And you know, and then there was the process of you know, essentially ethnic cleansing. And when you do that, as we're seeing right now, you take the most sacred sites and you obliterate them. And that's what happened. I mean, one side of the river was blasted by water cannons. The other side was blasted by with just dynamite. You know, it
to make navigable channels?
No, to get gold.
Oh.
But also, I think, you know, there's something, I mean, because Tillamook Fall is right between Nugget Butte and Gold Hill, two hills, okay? So right in the center of it, which was the story chair and which is the centerpiece of the salmon ceremony, was also, you know, was ground zero for mining. And, you know, so, you know, there was – and then it became a hydroelectric dam in the 40s. I mean, it's been mined, dam, this, that. But it's always been, you know, going back thousands of years, it's been the spiritual, cultural, economic center point of that area. And that's what we're trying to do for the future.
Steve Kiesling's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Gold Hill Whitewater Center president, a former Olympic rower, and obviously a whitewater enthusiast. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the possible creation of the Gold Hill Whitewater Center. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. 800-838-3760, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. So when you say Whitewater Center and you talk about building a place, I mean, you're immediately going to raise some hackles. I think you're aware that, you know, people are going to think, uh-oh, what is this, a theme park, a water park, and I'm going to build something along the Rogue River? So yeah. You know, let people know what the general sense of the vision is here.
One thing that's happening right now is, well, in a couple of months, Bend will open their Whitewater Park, which is downtown. And that's it's a much bigger project. It's $10 million, and, you know, they're driving – they have to put in piling 70 feet into the river bottom to anchor these adjustable waves.
On the Deschutes River?
Yeah, on the Deschutes.
Adjustable waves,
adjustable
you said?
Waves. It's really phenomenal. I mean, there are 40 of these parks in Colorado. There's one in Reno. What we're trying to do is take is actually much simpler. The idea is there's this channel called Mugger's Alley, and what we want to do it would be the beginning of summer. We'll build a temporary dam across the top of it, dewater that, go in and modify it. I mean, like, you know, add things, take things out. And then so that when at the end of it, after a couple of months, we take out this cofferdam, and instead of having this just wild race of you know, rushing water, we'll have a series of really cool waves. And it'll look like nothing had happened, except it'll be an Olympic-level slalom course and a great play spot. And it'll all be free.
And so what makes it Olympic level?
Well, the nice thing about Mugger's Alley, it has the length, the flow, the drop of an Olympic slalom course. I mean, the Olympics are now done on these artificial courses, which are, you know, cost $30, $40 million and are environmental nightmares. We have that running nonstop 24/7 for free. What's between us and an Olympic level course is $1 million. And right now, this is in the hands really of Peter Buckley and Alan Bates, who are on the Senate subcommittee for Ways and Means, because there's money in
Buckley
the budget.
Bates is not, but
all right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so there we have funding to do the engineering. We got a grant from the Oregon Community Foundation to do some additional mapping of the river bottom. So long as we get this funding, we'll be able to design the rapids. Design the features this summer, and then go for a state parks grant and build it in 2017.
So what you mentioned the land there, is it your land on one side and the city of Gold Hill on the other?
That's right. It's the Gold Hill City Park land, and then we own the other side. And it's essentially our side, a lot of it is essentially what's now a public parking lot. But we're actually designing a what may be a site for the nine tribes of Oregon. We're working on that right this afternoon, actually.
So it sounds like you're trying to get a couple of different things there. You're trying to make sure that you respect the native traditions of the site, but also turn this into a really good place to do some whitewater running.
Yeah, I mean, it all goes together. I think the Olympics and this site for the Native Americans. I mean, nobody wants a site, you know, to tell the story of being obliterated. I mean, but everybody has the right to feel proud about their place.
Steve Kiesling, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Gold Hill Whitewater Center president, former Olympic rower. We're talking about the creation of the Gold Hill Whitewater Center. Join us on the exchange, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So this concept, though, I'm still not quite clear on the idea of having to smooth out what you've got there ready to make Mugger's Alley a little more or a little less something.
Well, right now, Mugger's Alley is a class four rapid that hardly anybody runs because the commercial rafters go by down the big drop, which is called Powerhouse. And boating is kind of a fashion business. It changes. People, you know, like different things. But one of the things that boaters really like are play waves. And right now, the only play wave we have is called Schoolhouse out in the Klamath in the middle of nowhere. I mean, and that's in, I think, right now. It's a really fun place. What we can build several of those of different sizes in Mugger's Alley so that they become draws for boaters to come play in the waves or for stand-up paddle boards or inner tubers. And what that does is it brings girls in bikinis to come to watch. Or actually, they're in the river playing too because there are some great women paddlers. But essentially, once you have girls in bikinis, you have an economy, and that's what Gold Hill desperately needs.
So it's less of a technical kind of thing and more of a recreation kind of site?
Yeah, I mean, right now the site's, Mugger's Alley is class four. It's dangerous, and what we want to do is make it really challenging, not dangerous, and really fun. And it's, you know, it's on 234, which is between Crater Lake and, you know, that's the scenic route to Crater Lake. 500,000 people go to Crater Lake, and you put you have a whitewater park with really good waves there, and it'll draw a lot of people, and that will, I mean, pretty much overnight turn Gold Hill into the next Bend.
So, what is the story with permits for doing the work in the river, and how much would you have to take out? You talked about doing apparently some sculpting of the Mugger's Alley Channel.
Yeah, it's actually very simple because what we do is there used to be a dam there, which was much more intrusive. And to take the dam out, they put in cofferdams, dams upstream, and then blasted it out with heavy machines. What we do is we'd put in a cofferdam, which basically huge sandbags at the top of the thing, and then you have a dry channel that's a couple hundred yards long, and you go in and it's all bedrock. So the great thing about this is whatever you put in, it'll stay there essentially forever. You spend a couple of weeks, a couple of months modifying the channels. Great waves are really hard to construct. And we have the guy who designed the 96 Olympic course and a couple other great waves, the thing in Boise, so you're dialing in these perfect waves that, you know, they look totally natural. It's just that they're much more fun than what's there. And you know, you create spectator events.
Mark in Grants Pass dropped off a question. He wants to know if the waves will be suitable for river surfing or able to stay stationary in them.
Yeah, that's the plan. Mm-hmm. Okay. And because and there are competitions for play boating. You know, you learn all kinds of tricks. None of them I can do, but I watch and I'm really impressed.
I'm amazed as I watch the growth of stand-up paddleboarding that we're talking about, even that on this stretch of the river. So this must be a fairly mild stretch you're going to end up with potentially.
Oh, no. I mean, we have at the King of the Rogue, which is July 11th, we have stand-up paddleboarders going over the falls.
Really?
I mean, it's really crazy. I watch this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because when you're on a stand-up paddleboard, I mean, the kayak is one thing. I'll run this. But on a stand-up paddleboard, you're standing up, and there are sharp rocks. So when you fall off, you're not necessarily falling into water. You may be, you know. And so they dress like motorcyclists. I mean, but anyway, in the King of the Rogue, we have people going over the falls. Nobody. I've never seen anybody actually stay upright through the whole thing, but pretty close.
Really? Okay. That sounds like a 100-point bull ride or something.
Oh yeah, that's crazy.
So Steve Kiesling, how much money is it going to take? Who do you have behind you at this point, and what are the approvals you have to get still ahead of you?
We've had actually a lot of support. The City of Gold Hill gave us money to do the original mapping. The Rogue River Greenway gave us money for the parking lot. ODOT put up signs. We just got more money from the Oregon Community Foundation for more mapping. And then the state is – we have $100,000 in the budget, and so I'm just hoping it stays there, which will pay for the engineering. And then the next step is a $750,000 grant from the Oregon Parks Foundation. The whole project should cost about $1 million.
Okay. So it sounds like it's not really heavy on amenities. I mean, you're envisioning parking lots and concession stands. And
you know, we're not – I mean, the thing to be – trying to be as minimally invasive as we can. Actually, the Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District has designed the riparian trails plan, and we're working on that today. Basically, making really nice trails, have great plantings. I mean, restoring Tillamook is the idea. I mean, it was a huge village. I mean, there were several hundred people living right there, and they were supported by this place. And go back to that. I mean, we have a gravel parking lot because actually gravel is the best kind of parking lot. It is naturally – it doesn't cause runoff. And that's a lot cheaper than the asphalt. So simpler is better. At some point we have to put in, you know, the restrooms, changing areas, and that kind of stuff. But this is, you know, really simple. We're also working on some sculptures. There's a – an idea for a giant – this is where the great dragonfly, the Dal Dal, flew up river in the – this is in the Takelma creation story. So this giant dragonfly flew up the river, and one of the things we're trying to do is to put – like they have in Seattle, there's a 40-foot wingspan dragonfly shade structure, and maybe have one of these on each side of the – these giant dragonflies. I don't know. Just to – call attention to the history of this thing, because it was, I mean, this was the creation story of the tribes, and all these stories are really worth telling. I mean, just figuring out the truth of this place is really difficult. I've been working on this 15 years.
So again, a melding of past and present in the Gold Hill Whitewater Center. We'll take a couple more minutes to talk to Steve Kiesling. You can join us on The Exchange, 800-838-3760, out and about the listening area, or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So $1 million, City of Gold Hill is on here. You got a grant from the Oregon Community Foundation. I'm talking to legislators, talking to the Oregon Parks Foundation. And then what kinds of environmental impact statements, permits? I mean, this is – you're talking about messing with an actual river channel.
Yeah, we've got – this is – well, a year ago we had all of the agencies and the tribes came. I mean, the Army Corps of Engineers, NOAA Fisheries, Oregon Fish and Wildlife, you name it. They all came out and we haven't submitted permits because, one, we don't have a design. But also, this whole thing has evolved and simplified as we figured out, okay, what is the least invasive, most productive thing we can do? And that's, I think, what we've gotten to. So we'll start, actually, the permit process in the next few months.
Now, some of the stuff I noticed on your website, it is a pretty well-established website with lots of pictures and things, including the map that you brought along in much larger format here today. There's a bridge in this, too. Tell us about that.
Well, the Greenway, and part of the reason the Greenway funded the parking lot is that the Greenway has to cross the Rogue, and there was a committee a few years ago trying to figure out where, and this was one of the alternatives, except we would never build a site anywhere, a bridge near the story chair, because it's this sacred site. But then Graham Aggie was at this meeting of all the regulatory people.
This is Agnes Baker Pilgrim.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She had a dream about a dragonfly, a giant dragonfly, at Tillamook Falls. And then, anyway, in front of all these regulators, she comes to me and says, "Oh, Steve, I figured out what this is all about." And I said, "What is it?" "Well, we're going to build a bridge right here." And so she had this vision of this bridge. And so we got a guy who was a former Army Corps of Engineers guy who does visioning for towns, and he came down and he sat with Grandma and drew her vision in the spot where she had it of this giant dragonfly that landed on Tillamook Falls. And so, this is a $10, $20 million bridge. When this gets built, I don't know, but this is – This is the most significant site in Southern Oregon for thousands of years, and it has the potential to be a national site to honor all the bad and really good things we've done. I mean, really, to take it all in and say, hey, this is the story of what happened here, and it's really important, not just for the past, but for what's happening in the world right now.
Let's take a call. We have Phil in Arcata on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Steve Kiesling from the Gold Hill Whitewater Center.
Hi there.
Hi.
So I was just wondering about the environmental impacts of this and if these have really been assessed, because the Klamath watershed is already, you know, under a lot of threat. I live near there in Arcata, and I spend a lot of time up at the mouth, and there's been some really low water recently. So I kind of just wanted to know if this is just about boosting the economy of this one little town, and, you know, how many rafters actually don't want to just go on a wild river as nature made it, and, you know, what are the concerns for the wildlife there and the beauty of the river in its natural state?
Okay, natural state. And
by, modifying nature more than we have.
All right, thanks, Phil.
That's a good question. If we did any damage to the fishery, we couldn't do it. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. But what happened actually at this spot is that the whole river used to dump right into the pool below Tillamook Falls. And that's why the village was there. And it's like 20 feet deep. We've scuba dived it. But one of the things, if you go dive the thing, you find out it's not full of fish anymore. And the reason is not because it's not full of – there's still fish in the river, not as many. But they're going up a channel that was blasted by miners to divert water out of this pool to get the gold at the bottom. And I think that's what happened. And so basically what you have – the channel we're trying to modify is a channel that was blasted. And what we do to the what we do inside that channel is not going to change the flow. I mean, the same amount of water flows through it. It'll flow through a little differently. There'll be bigger waves.
So how it flows will be different.
Yeah,
so,
but the fish won't care.
All right. Best case, how soon could you get this all together?
Build it in 2017.
2017. Okay. A couple of years from now. Well, yeah. We will keep our eyes on the process. Steve Kiesling is the president of the Gold Hill Whitewater Center in the planning stages right now near Gold Hill, and a former Olympic rower. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.